Well, I'll share about that in a minute. My wife always gets on me and says, because sometimes they say it's not going to be long, and I speak in 40 minutes. Legitimately, I don't think I'm going to have that much to say this morning. And with the group we have, it's small. I think that's fine. I do want to keep speaking from the book of Acts. You can go ahead and turn there to Acts chapter 3. I'm on Acts chapter 3, yes. Acts chapter 3. And just a quick recap, I've taken a few weeks. We did ministry to God. We put in Acts chapter 13 and before the major missionary movement was birthed. They first come together and said they, as they ministered the Lord and fasted, the Lord sent them, the Holy Spirit sent them out. We also spoke on all that Jesus began to do and teach. And so it's not just enough to know doctrines and teach doctrines. If I'm not putting it into practice and doing, what good is it, right? Aaron, correct me if I'm wrong. You said you had a head cold a couple weeks ago and the next day, and so praise the Lord for that. And so that's what I'm talking about. Aaron had a head cold a few weeks ago. We prayed for her, said the next day she was fine. It has to be applicable, right? And I have to give expression to it. And I spoke to him about that. And we spoke tongues. It does my heart really good when you said what you said, because what I want to do is give things not just to sermonize. No one just needs another sermon, but to put things that are practical that I can actually use to help me be a supernatural Christian in everything I do. Great example. I'm in the car. God spoke to me, hearing from the Lord. The Lord spoke. Man, it's in my heart. It's just ways in there. I need to go see this person. I need to go see this person. I don't know what I'm going to say. So you pray in the Spirit. You speak mysteries to God. You get there and you've been communing with the Lord. He's been dropping stuff in you supernaturally. And there you go. And that's normal Christianity.
That's good stuff. That I normally do. I mean, I don't usually jump to it. So it's like, because of what he said, that's why it came into my brain, you know, obviously. And
Yeah, so that's good stuff. That should be our life, you know. You're having high frequencies in your life because the Lord's really training. It's really confirming a lot to you. He's doing some quick work in you. But it should be a place where it's just, or maybe if it's not, I don't need to go see someone. Maybe I need to really pray for James. I don't have a clue how to pray for James today, but Lord just puts, sometimes God just puts some of you, certain people in my heart, speak to this person, and I don't know how to pray, so I'm just going to be at work praying in the Spirit for James. I'm speaking mysteries. That's even warfare. We talked about it in Ephesians. If you have something going on, it gives you the armor of God, then saying praying always in the Spirit, right? Okay, so it's a real tool the Lord's given us. I'm going to look at something very narrow this morning, and it's something the Lord wouldn't let me get away from. So perhaps when that happens, it's usually for someone in here. maybe someone not here. I don't know. But I'm going to read. It's going to be Acts chapter 3, and we're going to read verse 1 through 11. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 11. Does any volunteer want to read it? Any volunteers? Go ahead, James. Yep.
One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg. From those going into the temple courts, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Andrew 1:11?
Verse 11, and we're done, yeah.
While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. Wow, I definitely need reading glasses.
Reading glasses. And thank you for reading. I have a few. I do have a quick, actually, like I did last week, just a brief sermonette. And then I have something I want to share. If you read 1 through 11, any of us, give it to any preacher or teacher in the world, there's a lot of different, a whole lot of different directions one can go when you look here. And I have something very specific this morning. But let me give you a quick little sermon. I just want to say something before I share what I want to say. It says, "And Peter and John, they went up together." And I've shared some of this before, and I'm probably not going to speak about it as forcefully as I would like to. But let me say this. Peter and John, if you study them in Scripture, read throughout their lives, they're very different guys. Even you remember the disciples would argue and they would fight. I always say this. Babylon, if you remember the Tower of Babel and the languages and everyone's confused, Babel scatters, Pentecost gathers. And we're all speaking in the Spirit. And so the Lord's able, because they just come through that experience where they met the Lord, the Holy Spirit came upon them. When that happens, there's a, like I've said this all the time, I have this, there's this lady back home in our church, and she's an elderly African-American woman. She and I are very different in a lot of respects. But we communicate, so I'm grateful that you're my sister in Christ. She's my sister in one. So there's something that that does in the body. But it says, and I've mentioned this before in Acts chapter 2, it says they were all in one accord in one place. Okay? If you read throughout any, if you study revivals, for example, study moves of God in history, what you'll find is two things. It involves people being together and in one place. Okay? And so anytime there's a real move of God, a move of the Spirit, there's a unity of the Spirit that has to transpire before the thing can really be launched. Okay? Just quickly about this. One thing that happens is when you really meet the Lord together in a certain way, it binds you and joins you together. I remember, I wasn't planning on saying this, one night at prayer, this is earlier in the year, we had a really, it was just four of us. Maybe just us, Bill, me, I think maybe Willie. Really, really good time in the Lord, and we got together in the hands, and Kevin, and hands around, and had a prayer time afterwards, and there was just such a knitting of hearts that I felt, because we encountered the Lord, and there's a unity. Babel scatters, Pentecost gathers in the realm of the Spirit, but also in one place. And if you look throughout history as well, and I don't know why the Lord does it, people go to places. They don't just go to people. And anytime a revival or a movement shifts to, I'm going to go see this person, usually it dissipates pretty quickly. Throughout, look in the Welsh Revival, Azusa Street, for example, even in Assemblies of God, Brownsville Revival, in the 90s, people didn't say, you know, I'm going to go hear Kilpatrick or Steve Hill. They went to that place. And so I don't know why, but certain places can be saturated with presence, anointing, okay? And so there's an importance of gathering and being in unity and connecting with the Lord of heart to heart. Let me just say this, because this is just a brief little sermonette, and I'm going to stop short of everything I want to say. Let me encourage you to share your life with other people. Okay, it's a good, healthy thing. If I want to be joined with them, maybe I should. I'm going to reach out to James this week. How can I pray for you, man of God? Speak words of life into him. I don't want to just see him for a couple times a month on a Sunday, but reach out and connect and see. There's a unity in an inning. Lord, help me. Lord, connect me with this man. Let me reach out and connect and connect and connect. Sometimes that can be tough, but you find the Lord does that, and he knits your heart together. He knits you in a place together. The Lord can do bigger things. Amen? Amen. Let me go to what I want to say this morning. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." You actually said your version had 3 p.m.,
yeah.
And that's right. The Jewish day began at 6 in the morning and it concluded at 6 p.m. And so here in Psalms said, "Evening, morning, and noon shall I pray and cry aloud. He will hear my voice." I love that passage. So the Jews would have prayer. It would be at 9 a.m., 12 a.m., and 3 p.m. And so they went for evening prayers at 3 p.m. That's the same time Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross. Okay? And so what these guys were doing, they were going together, Peter and John, they were going to prayer meeting at 3 o'clock. They're going to the temple, okay, once again, in unity together, and they went to a place together, okay? Go back to this real quick. I heard someone say one time, I can meet the Lord just as well anywhere as I can. in a church. And I actually really disagree with that. There's something when you come together in unity with the body, where it's different every time, and I've spoke about the corporate anointing. When you come together, the Lord can really do some amazing things. But these men, they came together, they went up to the temple, and they went to the Gate Beautiful. Let me just give a little background real quick, and I'm going to be really brief and short. It was actually Calvin. John Calvin said this, because Jesus is obviously, the law came through Moses, but grace and peace came through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And so they were still going by the Jewish rituals of prayer time. But Calvin said something, John Calvin, the reformer, which I thought was interesting. He said, if any man asks whether the apostles went up to the temple that they might pray according to the rite of the law, I do not think that thing is likely to be true, as they may have had a better opportunity to spread the gospel. I believe they did. They went to pray, and they also went. They knew a lot of Jews would be there, those who had not confessed Christ. What did Paul say? I become all things to all men, that I might save some, right? And sometimes it's good that we... I remain faithful to who I am in God. I never lose that identity, but I'm able to be flexible to minister to people where they're at, right? And so they went there, and they found the man at the Gate Beautiful. I want to speak about something. Again, it's a unique track, but it deals with similar to something you said, Brad, and maybe it's a little different. There's a certain spontaneity we should have as people who are spiritual people, born of the Spirit, who have a spiritual life. Remember I talked about Peter last week, and I said, I don't think Peter woke up in the morning and said, I'm going to give a great sermon after everyone speaks in tongues and 3,000 people are going to confess the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet he gave a phenomenal sermon because he was prepared. I think that shows some flexibility. I'm not sure that Peter and John knew when they went up to prayer that the lame man who they've seen since his birth was going to look at them, and they were going, say, in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Okay? And there's a lot of different areas and ways we can come to how that is. I want to speak on one thing in particular this morning. Verse 2, it says this. It says, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Remember I shared this too. Smith Wigglesworth made this comment. He said, it might seem arrogant. He said, if the Spirit's not moving, I make the Spirit move. You heard of Smith Wigglesworth? I love that quote. And what's he saying is basically, if nothing's happened, you know what? The Spirit of God, just like these men, is within them, but the Spirit of God had come upon them. Okay? He uses me, and so I can move in the Spirit. A lot of times we want to be, I'm going to wait until the Spirit moves me to do something, rather than the Spirit's already come upon me, the Holy Spirit's within me, and I can move. And as I move, the Spirit of God is moving, because He lives within me and He's upon me. I'm a child, I'm a son of God, right? I don't have to wait for that special feeling to share something. Now there's times, like you said, it's just true when the Lord speaks to us, right? Okay? But I pray, but I can be naturally supernatural, and it gives me a real sense of purpose in my life. Everywhere I go, I don't have to wait till I come into a church service and they sing the right song, and the person gives the right prophetic word, and then I feel the Spirit of God on me, right? Now, that can happen, and that's a good thing when it does. I've been in services like that. It's a beautiful thing. But I can do it just as easily other places. It's spontaneity. It's the Spirit of God moves, right? And it makes me free to move and flow and function as He leads me and guides me, okay? There's something about... There's the Gate Beautiful. Real quick, the Gate Beautiful, Josephus, who was the Jewish historian, said this was greatly excelled that only... This gate greatly excelled those that only were covered with gold and silver. In other words, it was immaculate. It was at Solomon's porch before the temple was destroyed. And in those days, what this lame man was doing, he was basically a professional alms asker. And so even today, you'd be surprised at the calls we get wanting money from people who aren't here. And we're always glad to help. We have a benevolence fund. So come here, let me get to know you. Fill out some form, let's get to... but that still happens. And Jesus, if you remember, people took that too. Remember in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, when you give your alms, do it before God and not man. And so a lot of times what was happening in the system, they would go camp out because people were predisposed. Hey, I'm not going to go in church, but I'm going to hang out right there because the folks going in are going to want to feel good and they want to give me some money, so I'm going to give me, I'm lame, give me some alms. You're going in to pray, but first give some to me. So he was a professional alms asker. He was lame from his mother's womb. He wasn't going in the temple, which was the church. He wasn't going to the prayer meeting, but he was going to take from the guys who were going in. And those who were going in were saying, look at me, I gave $100, which is on your shirt. $100 to James today, right? Look at me. I know someone who does that. Every time he gives, he wants to tell everyone in the world, no one here, don't do that. You give unto the Lord, right?
Amen.
And so I love it when people give me stuff and they say, don't tell anyone I did this. The Lord knows, and you're going to be rewarded for that. Amen. And so he was doing that. Briefly, this is going to be very short. Jesus, when in his ministry on this earth, and I challenge you, I'm going to read some verses. He was led by the Spirit. The Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. You remember? Okay. But one thing you're going to find in the scriptures is that when Jesus moved, it says he was moved with compassion and healed their sick. A lot of places in scripture says he was moved with compassion. I'm going to speak about that a little bit this morning. The Lord put that on my heart Monday or Tuesday, and I couldn't get away from it. I said, Lord, that's too narrow for these verses. I couldn't get away from it. So it has to be for someone in here, or maybe it's for me. I don't know. But he was moved with compassion. How do you live a life where you filled with the Spirit? I've given this all the time. Before I ever spoke on the book of Acts, I spoke on ministry to God. Remember, I pour myself on Him every day. You know, most days I should be reading this book. I should be reading the Word of God, interacting with the Lord. I should be in prayer with Him. If your prayer language, don't put it on the shelf. Pray in the Spirit. Worship Him. You connect with the body of Christ in some form or fashion. But you're in the Spirit. And as you do that, the Lord ends up putting His desires in you. Remember I spoke in Romans 12, 2, sometimes ago. It says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. And I spoke how conformed in the original language means like I look different now than I'm going to look 30 years from now. And transformed is called metamorphosis, and it's the same word used in 2 Corinthians 3:16, where it says, we look upon Him, we're changed from glory to glory. As I commune with God, as I minister to Him like they have in Acts, His desires, remember, delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. His desires begin to transform who you are.
Amen.
The very person.
Amen.
And so I don't do things because I have to. I do things because I want to and I get to, right? I don't get to pray for James because I have to do it. I do it because I want to. It's something that's inside of me.
Amen.
Because I've spent time with God. Whatever you eat on is what you're going to spit out, okay? And so the more I chew on the Lord, the more I fill myself with Him, the more I give Him time, the more of Him comes out of me, right? It says, out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water. I want to give you some passages. So sometimes I don't, let me say this, just to speak honestly. Sometimes don't stress yourself about how do I move in the Spirit? How do I step out in the Spirit? Trust me, if you're walking with Him, your example is beautiful for this morning, actually. If you're just walking with Him, what you were doing, you were speaking, you're moving in the Spirit. You're hearing from God. He spoke to you. I'm using examples you shared. He spoke to you, and you just stepped down. You moved. It wasn't, I have to speak. How can I do this? Okay, you're there. How do I do it? You know what? The Spirit of God's within me. He's upon me. I'm in communion with Him. So it's natural, right? You say, what if I'm in the flesh? I walk over James to pray for him. I'm walking over in the flesh, right? The Spirit of God is upon me, and I can lay hands on him. I can say, in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk.
Amen.
And I have faith. I believe it. Amen. So it doesn't have to be a show. It doesn't have to be anything. It should be a natural thing. But as I fill myself with Him, it becomes a natural way of life. Okay? Throughout the Scriptures, as I said, I'm going to give you some passages. It says Jesus was moved with compassion. Okay? And I didn't know this till this week, actually. Sometimes we read over things. In Psalms 86:15, it says He's full of compassion. In James 5:11 says He's compassionate. But let me just, don't turn to these verses. I'm just going to read them to you. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, it says, seeing the people, it's not Jesus, He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. In those verses where He felt compassion for them, He said, pray that the Lord would send out laborers for the harvest. So He looked upon the people with compassion. It says on Matthew 14:14, and Matthew, I'm going to read Matthew 14, verse 13 through 14. It says, when Jesus heard it, he departed there by a boat to a deserted place by himself to pray. But when the multitudes heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. He was moved with compassion because he was led with the Spirit. Okay? So he saw them. He's moved with compassion. I'm going to speak about that word in a minute. It's interesting. Moved with compassion and he healed their sick. He didn't just say, let me give you a few bucks to get you through the day. He was moved with compassion and he healed their sick. And it also speaks in forgiveness in Matthew 18:27 when he speaks of the servant. He says, and the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him from the debt. And Ephesians also speaks about, have compassion on one another and forgive as the Lord forgave you. And the leper was cleansed. In Mark 1:41 it says, moved with compassion, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him and said, I am willing, be cleansed. Okay? Also, in Mark 8:2, it says, I feel compassion for the people because they have remained with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. So his compassion, let me say this real quick, it led to two things. Sometimes you hear a lot about the social gospel, which usually it tends to be very liberal in its guise in that. And basically that's the social gospel. It just becomes a charitable organization, basically. Now, there's some really good in that, and I could preach a message that would back up a lot of that. But Jesus didn't just feed them bread. He also said, you have to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they all left, if you remember when he had the folks before. And so I feed them in the natural. That's very scriptural. Amen to that. Like what we do at the warm center, things like that. But it's also, he's moved compassion to touch people in their spirit man's as well. The church could be the greatest charitable organization in the world, and it would be good, and our world would still be in a mess. Okay? Because they need something that we have. Let me remind you again, this lame man was outside churches. You can picture, I'm outside, I'm not going in, but I want what you have. And they said, what you need isn't just money. I'll give you, I don't have it. But what I have inside of me is what you really need, the Spirit of God, Jesus Christ. So we have to mix those things. Sometimes we take things to the extreme, and if you know what I mean when I talk about the social gospel, I hope you do. It's just a charitable thing. Some other passages, I'm going to be done. It says, when the Lord saw her, this was the widow of Nain, before he raised the son from the dead, he saw the woman, he felt compassion for her, and he said, do not weep. When Jesus, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Lazarus, what was that? He felt compassion for that man. He doesn't say compassion, but he felt compassion. As I read this in Acts, the Lord just stopped me here, and I have to share some about it, because I believe these men, it doesn't say it, I don't want to read into it what's not there, but I don't think anyone in this room, I have a niece who was diagnosed with spina bifida. She was actually, they told her she would never walk, and she would be completely paralyzed, which isn't true. But I've shared some about her, and you know, she's going to be completely healed. The Lord's doing a work in her. Amen. But right now, she's in a wheelchair at this moment, and she's 8, 9, and no one in this room could walk by her and not feel something in their hearts. and so I believe these men, they felt compassion, and they were moved with compassion. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, the word compassion is a very remarkable one. It's not found in the classical Greek. It's not found in the Septuagint. The fact is, it was a word coined by the gospel writers themselves. I like this. He says, they did not find one in the whole Greek language that suited their purposes. The Greek language was very, very expressive. People say it's like a 3D version of English. And so we have one little word, the Greek. Sometimes it's good to understand Greek in original language without having to be a scholar, because if you look at it, it gives such great meaning that they have. He said there was not a word that suited their purpose, and they had to make one. It's an expressive of the deepest emotion, a striving of the bowels, a yearning of the innermost nature. And the word that they actually used for it, it was used in a verb tense, it's an action word. Paul actually used it as a noun, basically in Colossians. It says you put on compassion. Here in Colossians 3. And it speaks of the very nature of who we are. So if I have the Spirit of God, 1 Corinthians 1, I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, I think, It says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Father of compassion. It's who He is. Okay? It's not just an emotion. It's not, I feel sorry for this person. It's something deep in the heart that looks at someone and says, you know what? Whether this person knows God or not, Father of all the earth created this person. There's value. There's something there. There's compassion. I want you to have something. I want you to have the Lord. And I'm not moved with, man, should I pray for this guy or not? Because I'm led by the Spirit, I'm moved with compassion. I want you to know the Lord, man. Pray for you. Does that make any sense? Paul used it as a noun. It's the very nature and essence of who we are. The word is splanka. I don't know. Like you said, get Bob to tell us to pronounce the word. But it says to be moved with one's bowels, hence to be moved with compassion. It's a part of speech. It says to use as a personality at the deepest level. Let me clarify this before I go forward. I read something great Chris Valentin had. It's not. This is not a feeling that I have. It's not just I feel sorry. Chris Valentin says feelings don't always tell the truth. Amen. How you feel is not how you are. Amen. I agree with that 100%. I love this. Valuing your feelings without letting them determine your decisions is maturity. I'm going to say that again because that's wonderful. Valuing your feelings without letting them determine your decisions is maturity. Okay? And he also said true love is an act of your will, not an emotion that you feel. My point in reading that is this. This what I'm talking about this morning, it goes beyond just I look at someone and I pity them. It's something, where's the Spirit of God? I always say He's upon me, but as I pray in the Spirit, I don't know if you had this week, but I feel it just bubbling up. Just bubbles. It's in my spirit. Out of your heart shall flow rivers of living water in the depths of your belly. It's something that drives me. Let me say this real quick. I had this for the end. This has been happening with me lately, before I learned any of this stuff. I can watch, sometimes I watch if you, there's a guy, A.A. Allen. Anyone heard of A.A. Allen? Yeah. And he was a very well-known healing evangelist, voice of healing movement back in the 50s and the 60s. And he has, there's some videos you can find on YouTube, and it's some of the most beautiful things in the world. And they'll bring some of the most crippled, debased, deformed people into his meetings, and you watch the videos, we'll bring them up and say, Mama, do you want to see your boy walk again today? And I tell you what, you look at that stuff, and it does something to me. It says, you know what? I'm a child of God. Lord put me here, and you see a little child. You know, that's not the way the Lord designed it. I moved with compassion in them, and I started feeling that too. Then I saw this, and I felt good, and I said, Father, Lord, use me in this manner so I can see people live to their fullest of their potentials to be who You've called them to be. I have a compassion. I have something deep within my heart and my bowels, and it comes up with that in me that says, that's not the way it should be. Silver and gold I may not have, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. I carry something someone needs. Is this making sense? And so in moments like that, I don't have to worry about, okay, how do I move in the Spirit the right way? I'm being led by the Spirit. I'm being led by the Spirit because I'm being moved by compassion. Right? I think this is good. It helps me. I feel something. I don't have to worry, should I pray or not for this person? I can see that little guy, and these are old clips, and see something today. I don't have to worry, well, should I pray for them? Should I do this? Should I do that? There's a use proper protocol and etiquette, and I'm not speaking about that this morning. If someone doesn't want your prayers, bless you, I'll pray for you to myself over here. Don't encroach upon someone that doesn't want it. And this doesn't productive. But someone saying, hey, look to me. I'm pulling out to you. There should be something that wells up inside of me. Spontaneous. Silver and gold I don't have, but in the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Because I move with compassion. Amen? This is helpful for me. I'm going to share a couple more things. I'm going to take communion. I don't want to break my thing and say don't speak too long. It's important as we do this. I'm going to end with this. That we're able to see. Sometimes I pray, Lord, give me your eyes and ears. Talks about the scriptures, eye gates and ear gates. Be careful what you watch. Be careful what you listen to. The Lord's really strict with me about that. And it's a good thing. But things aren't necessarily bad. Sometimes I just, He won't allow me that thing. And so I be careful what I see, what I look at. I say, Lord, I want to see with your eyes. Okay? In Ephesians, I wrote the verse down. It's in Ephesians 1:17. It says the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. The eyes, that heart speaks of the spirit. Heart and spirit usually connect. That the eyes of my spirit would be enlightened, so I can see with in the spirit. You can have emotions and feelings. In Genesis 6:6, it says the Lord looked on the earth and He was grieved in His heart of what He saw. And then God is spirit. He was grieved as He looked and as He saw. It's important that we come to the place where I see people and I pray and I can see them in the spirit, so to speak. And what do I mean by that? I was listening to a video this week. I knew it was, if you like politics like I do, you might find you can only watch it in certain segments, because I was following politics Thursday. If you know politics, something happened on Thursday. There was a congressional hearing, and it got me so mad. It put me in a horrible mood. I really got out of the spirit, so to say. And I was envisioning myself taking this guy. And if I saw that guy, I would just deck him. You know, it worked me up so much. And I was listening to Lance Bonahout something. How to remain peace in this. And sometimes we can allow things to happen. What was happening is I walked out of that place. And I said, that's not you, Lord. It's important that I can find someone. I say, I can't stand James here. He's completely different from me. We don't see eye to eye. We don't get along. I don't like him, this and this. It's important as a son and daughter of God, I can still say that the eyes of my spirit, I can still see Him. Lord, let me see Him the way You see Him. And so instead of seeing Him outside of Christ, and maybe you don't know Christ, but I can still see You this way. I can see You. You know what? You might not be saved yet. My Father created you. He yearns for you. He has a plan and a purpose that you're not living up to right now. There's areas you're walking you shouldn't be walking in. Instead of burning grit, getting upset, you know what? I need to pray. I need to see You with those eyes. And so what happens then? It works for me anyways. I begin to be moved with compassion for this person. Right? It begins to move. There's more for this person. There's more. What happens? It's a spontaneity of the Spirit. So I start praying in the Spirit for him. I start praying in tongues, right? I don't have to think, how do I move in the Spirit with this guy? I just say, Lord, give me Your eyes and ears. And it just moves me. I want more for this guy. I want him to know the Lord the way I do. I want this for this person. I want this. And I'm moving. I'm walking by the Spirit because I move with compassion for this person. Just like Jesus was moved with compassion. You're like sheep without a shepherd, He said. Pray that the Lord would send out laborers for the field. He looked upon them and he was moved with compassion. Okay? They've been following me. He's moved with compassion. This person's sick. Oh, I need it. It was moved with compassion. Let me give you another good verse in Galatians. Now, this is a verse I feel like I've never read in my life until this week. In Galatians 5:4, it says, but faith working itself through love. Faith working through love. As you minister, and as you, you know, anytime, this would work for healing or any, whether I'm giving a prophetic word, without faith it is impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He is. You know that verse, okay? But there needs to, my faith for what the Lord wants to do in His life, it has to be manifested and demonstrated through love, okay? It's going to be really hard for me to be spiritless. It's going to be hard for me to meet the lame guy that's outside asking me for money and have faith if my faith isn't operated on the basis of love. What do I mean? It's not a formula necessarily, or I do something. Why do we minister? Why do we do what we do? I almost gave it away. There's someone I know. no one here knows them. And they're sharing about a pastor they knew. And the pastor said, I'm not going to pray for sick people because they might not get healed. That's wrong on a whole lot of different levels. But what he's basically saying is his whole motive for praying for James to be healed is for me. Right? Well, if he's not healed, everyone's going to look at me like something's wrong with me. Or if I give this prophetic word, I think that the Lord has. I should have said you. Let me do this. Jim gave a word for Willie. You know the African brother that comes.
His wife,
yes, a couple months ago. They went to visit another church the next week. Same word. He shared a prayer Tuesday, how the Lord took that word that he had then, and he carried her through a situation that she just walked through a couple weeks ago. How do I do that? When I see someone, I say, you know what? I move with compassion, and there has to be an element of love. It's not rigid, dry form. Okay, do this, do this, do that. Randy Clark said this. He said, in my meetings, he said, if someone doesn't get healed, he said, I never blame them. I said, I'm the one without the faith. I should have faith that should move love, that moves faith. So in other words, if I'm feeling, this isn't always the case. You have to know by the Spirit. If I'm feeling really ornery, for example, me this week, it's going to be really hard for me to move and operate and act. If I come in here in a horrible mood about something with him, for example, it's going to be a little bit harder for me to move and walk in the Spirit because my faith would not be working through love. I would not have compassion. Does that make sense? Faith has to work through love, okay? Let me end with this. I'm done with this. You can only give what you have, and we have what you need. Silver and gold I do not have. There's a story in the Middle Ages as a humble monk. I'm going to read this. He was walking with a Roman Catholic cardinal. This was in the Middle Ages. This should touch our hearts. It says this was when the Catholic Church was at the zenith of its power, prestige, and wealth. It says the cardinal pointed to the opulent buildings and said to the monk, "We no longer have to say silver and gold I do not have." The monk replied, "But neither can you say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." What a thing that is. Neither do we have to say silver and gold I don't have. The monk also replied, but neither can you say in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I had someone say to me, it was a very, very poor brother from Africa when I was in Bible school. He had nothing. And he told me one day he wanted to pray for me. He said, I don't have money, but I have something in the Spirit you need. Okay. All of us, literally everyone in here can say that. On whatever level it is, whatever the Lord's put inside of you, is the Spirit of God within you, is the Spirit of God upon you. And so it gives me purpose to my life. Okay, I have something you need, right? Brad, you have something that, was it your aunt, I think it was. You have something that she needs. You carry the Spirit of God within you that she needs. It's great value. And I see the guy who's outside of the temple. I might not have money. I may not be able to pay his doctor bills, but I carry something that he needs. I was moved by a story. We were at a church, the church service one time, and the guy was sharing how his daughter, his teenage daughter, went to Brazil, laid hands on a blind person. She got her sight back. Teenage girl. Hadn't been knowing the Lord long, hadn't been walking in long. Why was she able to do that? One, there was faith present. She knew that I have something that this person needs, right? So imagine, maybe it's not just healing. Maybe it's, like you said with Jim, maybe it's a prophetic word. The Lord speaks. You know what? Don't be afraid. Let me say this too. I always appreciate if it's something privately, Jim will come and ask. It's always good. And I'll do that too. Hey, you feel this is the Lord. Don't be afraid to share that thing with someone. It may be what somebody needs. Maybe the Lord, maybe it's not a prayer he needs. Maybe it's two words that he needs. And the Lord puts it in my heart because I have the Spirit within me. The Spirit's upon me. I carry something that someone else needs, right? And it means everywhere I go, I'm dangerous to the kingdom of darkness.
Amen.
That's a powerful thought. When I go to work, I'm dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. When I go to Stop and Shop, I'm dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. I walk in the Spirit. I don't have to think, how do I do it? How do I do it? I'm just, as I'm led by the Spirit, moved with compassion, I see someone. When I go to the warm center, a lot of times I pick who I sit and minister with based on how I didn't know I was doing this, how I feel in my gut. I feel something. I see someone. Oh, I just, something in me. I don't have to think, go pray, go over there and pray real quick. I just go and I move based on, I move with compassion, right? Amen. It's an interesting principle. I challenge you, read the Gospels. Jesus more often than not says he was moved with compassion. He healed because he was moved with compassion. He fed him because he was moved with compassion. It's an interesting thing. Amen. So I'm going to close. We're going to take communion. Peter, do you want to come up and play? Do I have two volunteers to pass out communion this morning? Jim and Bob, maybe two volunteers.